It's a very, very weird moment this week. It was a mind-blowing moment. Go onto Twitter, and there's the orange juice company tweeting out, "I can't do this anymore," which is a weird thing for an orange juice to say, right? Then Moon Pie, the brand, replies, "What's going on, Sunny?" Sunny D, these are all brands, replies, "Just my mood last night. All good, MP. Thanks for checking in. Illy," as in, "I love you." And I feel like we're seeing so many examples like this now, you know, of brands tweeting like they're people. It's just mind-boggling. And I don't know how we can even rationalize this. But one man who might be able to, Andrew Hughes, our marketing expert from ANU, once again on the line. Andrew Hughes, this is just so bizarre.
Isn't it? And did you see the rest of the conversation? Uber Eats joined in, Corn Nuts joined in, even a porn website joined in, which is a little bit weird, but that's where it went, and that's what happens when you tweet as a real person. So even Wikipedia put up something.
Yeah, I saw
involving puppies.
But what's so weird about it, right, is like you've got one brand that were, I remember they retweeted it being like, "Hey, if you ever have, you know, mental health issues, here are some strategies." But then the company Sunny D, who originally did that sort of very dramatic tweet, were then retweeting everyone that was sort of making fun of it. Like it would be people saying, you know, "When you go to the fridge and there's no milk," and then it was, you know, the quote of the tweet, "I can't do this anymore." So I don't know what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're trying to move their brand from being just seen as inanimate to being an actual person with a personality and with feelings and emotions, because that way you connect better with that brand. If you connect better with that brand, you're more likely to have loyalty towards it. Loyalty equals, of course, sales. Sales equals sustainability and money. So, of course, relationships are there as well, so that way you don't walk away from them so quickly. But it's trying to also, I suppose, be a bit different in the social media, you know, tsunami of 2019 and try and make itself stand out a bit and put itself head and shoulders above the normal tweets out there of, you know, "Hey, buy this product," or, you know, "Share this with your friends," sort of thing.
That's what I thought was really interesting, right? Because I remember we brought you on last year, and I don't know if you remember us talking about this. "Wendy's been holding it down for like a minute now. Mickey Bleep was trying to beef, it's time to finish now." So this was when Wendy's, the fast food outlet, released a mixtape dissing their competitors, right? And I remember we talked about this, and I guess looking back on it now, it's sort of like, yeah, that makes sense. It's sort of a quirky, standouty thing to do. But this is a brand pretending to be, like, depressed. I mean, I thought brands were meant to sort of be, everything's got to be light and bright and fun, and this is pretty, like, almost kind of weirdly, like, vulnerable. I don't know.
Yeah, but it gets our attention, right? It's like tapping into a modern issue, too, where you can be on social media, you can feel very connected, but you can also feel very alone. You know, you can be actually alone in your own room, even though you might have 10,000 friends on social media platforms, you can actually still feel that, hey, I'm not connected to anyone. And maybe they're tapping into that as well to show resonance and understanding with their target market. So that's what it's about. At the end of the day, they're trying to get that resonance and understanding with the target market, that they identify with them, they know what they're going through. And it's not all going to be like, you know, sunny days, hence the brand, I suppose, tagging there and tying, because they're not looking for that. They're saying, hey, life isn't about being sunny all the time, and maybe you, as a consumer, we know that what you're up to is that you're not going to get sunny all the time. You'll go off and buy another brand, and it's going to make me feel a little bit sad that you just can't do that, and you can't buy me all the time. You're going to go off and just have something else. So it's definitely looking at, I suppose, that more cutting-edge style marketing, where it's something where most of the brands wouldn't go down this pathway at all, because also the perception then is that you're making light of a very serious issue.
Yeah.
And that can actually turn people off more than turn people on. So
for sure,
very risky, right? It's a very risky strategy. But more and more brands are trying to get to that level where they become seen as people. If you think about it, it's probably a natural extension of where we're at the moment with brands and how, Apple's technology. So think about, Apple was a person, maybe in your head, Apple, if they were a person, would look like a certain tech, you know, look or style, or they talk a certain way and they'd have certain devices on them all the time. So in a way, it's using that stereotype of a person in your mind to get that brand to come to life and have a personality, but also have emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
So it could
It's just like, I guess what's so crazy about it is like, I mean, I noticed the other day that KFC have a KFC gaming Twitter account where it's all about video games and, you know, memes about video games and stuff like that. And to me, that is super odd. But I noticed that the account's doing perfectly fine. You know, they're getting the numbers. And so do you think that, Is this that complicated that we shouldn't be more aware of this? Because, like, you know, brands are obviously taking a real left turn in how they approach stuff, but it seems like no one's really, like, calling it out, I suppose. Like, we're just sort of retweeting the memes and we're sort of loving it.
I think we're part of it, too, because they give us fame. A lot of brands out there now will you know, retweet what you talk to them. If it's, like, as long as it's clean and decent, they'll share those images, you create the memes, the videos even, your own content, because it's a way of us getting fame, and we know it. So if we know they're going to, like, retweet or share our messages with their audience, and their audience is, like, 1 million people who follow the brand, then we get instant fame, and that's what we're all looking for, right?
Yeah.
We get that instant gratification, that instant hit. My notifications go through the roof. I'm famous for all of 10 seconds on the internet, but that's all I want anyway. And I've got that for the rest of my life, is that I can say my one tweet got like 500 likes or something.
Well, like,
and most of the time it'd be like two.
Like, so you say, it is also very, very risky. Like, I think one of my favourite things about this trend where brands are suddenly having a personality is, like, you know, a burger company might be like, hey, like, I think one, like, they'll say something stupid, like, hey, when your bae doesn't get you enough burgers and you're so sad, and then the first reply to that tweet will be like a photo, and it's like, hey, I found a needle in my burger, you know, and like then the brand just snaps out of that sort of very quickly. So I mean, could it be that we might find that in a year there's just, we're going to get sick of this, and brand people are going to start to see through the kind of mirage?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we all know that they only are doing it for money.
Yeah.
You know, okay, fair enough, you're trying to come across as a person, but you're also a corporate brand. You only exist to make money. We all know that because you have shareholders or owners, and it's the guiding principle of business is to make money. You've got to be sustainable, otherwise you're breaking the law.
Mm.
So if you're not in business to make money, then what else are you trying to do here? Unless you're a non-profit, of course, but which they aren't. So you can say, well, hang on, at the end of the day, I know you're doing this in a way to get me enticed to buy your product, to like your product, and to keep a relationship with your product. And that's what they're after, really, look, that sustainability of relationship. I saw an interesting thing the other day about dead musicians and how their families do their utmost to keep their brand alive because it's a good source of income. So you think about Elvis. Elvis last year made $27 million.
Right.
Isn't that stunning?
Oh, man, yeah.
And yet he's gone, and yet we keep the brand alive. And the brand, in a way, who he is as a person, yeah, he's passed away, but his brand hasn't. His brand's still happily out there being impersonated by who knows how many people, particularly around parks. And you see the people everywhere dressing up still as Elvis. But then again, he'll pass into history one day, and then might be Prince, but then it might be the next person.
Yeah.
Then it might be someone else who might be the next person, and so on and so forth. But these brands are trying to keep themselves alive through the embodiment of what they represent in your mind. So that's the next sort of step of marketing and branding, is that now they exist in your head.
Yeah.
They don't exist anywhere else.
God.
You know, their personality, who they are and what they are, exists in your head, and that resonance and that relationship with that brand can be generational even. It can be passed on. Like, you look at some of the toy brands, which are dead and gone now, we look back and go, oh, I loved that brand when I was a kid. I play with that brand all the time. And if we see that toy, it becomes a collectible. It's a collectible because it's no longer around, but we still have that relationship from it from all those years ago.
Yeah. Well,
it's the same thing here, really.
It's been great to unpack.